It's time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold. Return of the Empire. Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Yeet! We're back. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Return of the Empire. Yeah, that was the intro I had today. Yeet. Because yeet? The Niners are yeeting some fools right now in the NFL. 5-0 since the bye week. The Niners are the hottest team in the NFL. Not only that, they're the only team, Nate, to clinch a playoff spot so far. You got to be feeling great about that.
Yeah, it's nice, but been here, done that. I won a Super Bowl. So yeah. It's cool. Get the spot. That's fine, whatever. Same thing with like beating the Eagles. All right, beat the Eagles regular season. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's fun. You know, a lot of trash talk going on before and after. But I'm just ready. I'm an adult now, and I'm just ready to see the 49ers win a Super Bowl. And I don't think that's – you know what? It is. It might be asking too much because I've been asking for a long time. I've been asking since, like, 2011 when they've been a good team.
That's a while.
Yeah, I mean, other teams have been asking for longer, but I don't care. I'm selfish when it comes to this. I don't care about Detroit. I don't care about the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, I don't care about these other franchises. I need to see the 49ers win a Super Bowl. I need to. It's just plain and simple. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, and all Niner faithful feels the same way. Again, Return of the Empire, Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield joining you every Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever we get a chance to do it. It's a holiday season. Things move around. We appreciate you all joining in, listening here on Sacktown Sports over the radio or in the YouTube chat. Emmy, Manny, all of you, we appreciate you all for tuning in. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield. Nate, Brock Purdy's 4-0 against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, he is. This is a fact. This is a fact that you're saying to me, yes. Which is fantastic, because I think they threw up a stat during the game where it was like Russell Wilson 17-6 or 4 against
Excellent.
The Niners.
Very good number.
Which still hate Russell the Rat. Don't care if you're in Denver. So that was a really hard time for me as a fan. So it's nice to kind of see the turnaround happen. I think Jimmy was 2-4, 2-5 maybe against the Seahawks.
I mean, that wasn't Jimmy's fault though, was it? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's nice to be beaten up on these guys. I don't care if they're bad, whatever.
Yeah.
There's just hate in my heart, and it feels good to beat the Seahawks. Wow. But, I mean, this game was pretty straightforward. I mean, the first play of the game, I guess, wasn't straightforward. CMC breaks off for 72 yards. You think it's going to the house. Ayuk had some amazing blocking down the field.
Oh, man.
Amazing blocking throughout, not just him, the whole team. And you kind of think, all right, you know, probably if you're a Seahawks fan, you're like, uh-oh, this is going to be a smackdown today. Backup quarterback, Drew Lock played. You texted me before the game, and you said about 20 minutes before it came out, you're like, all right, Geno's not playing. I'm like, okay, all right. So Drew Lock, and
your response was, oh, boy.
It was, oh,
that
boy.
That was it. Oh, boy.
So my feeling, I think you asked me whether I prefer that or not. And I honestly, I told you this a few weeks ago, too, when they played the Seahawks, that I think I'd prefer a banged up Geno Smith than a healthy Drew Lock. Drew Lock's a guy who's trying to make a team. You know, he's trying to, start in the NFL.
Yes.
He's trying to show out, basically, when he's playing, right?
And he is.
They have good receivers, obviously. I mean, you saw the first drive for the Seahawks, that Metcalf TD, perfect ball, perfect placement, perfect catch, everything. Hard to blame. Tre'Davious Ward went out. He was not there. Because I was like, why isn't Mooney on DK? Why isn't he following him around?
Yeah.
Turns out he was hurt. I didn't know that for, you know, till the next drive.
Yes.
I don't think. But that was a demo on him, right?
When he scored the touchdown? Yes, was on him, yes. Oh, no, Ambry, I believe.
Ambry, pretty good. Solid defense. It was just, everything was perfect. Perfect storm. And that stuff happens in the NFL, for sure, in all sports, you know. It hit, but it's like, all right, well, you know, they're rolling. It's tied. Seahawks end up going up 10-7. I get a little worried, I guess. It's like, all right, Drew Lock's playing well enough.
Playing like the Lock Star.
Yes.
Wow.
And then just the Niners, once they turn it on and get going, you saw this against the Eagles.
Yeah, man.
It's, I mean, hard what to stop do you them. Do?
See what, he's doing.
What do you do? This is the best Niners team I have ever seen. I've watched basically every game and every snap, pretty much. You miss a few, got to run to the bathroom. Don't need my dad to pause the game for me.
No.
Because that's rude. But this team is incredible. They are so fun to watch. It's fun to watch a great offense. That is not something the 49ers have had when I've been a fan. It's been defense. And it's been, if you want to say their offense is good, it's been their run game, which is not necessarily the most fun thing to watch as a fan. You know, you always kind of watch other teams and you're like, okay, they're slinging it. And, you know, they might not be as good, but, you know, it's fun. It was always fun to watch Aaron Rodgers and like, you know, to Jordy Nelson or Greg Jennings, like those deep plays or like prime Drew Brees, prime Peyton Manning, where they're throwing the ball. It's like, that's the primary function of the offense. And now that's kind of what the Niners are. They're kind of a throw first team with an elite defense.
Yes.
And the runs are obviously there. I say that knowing that they throw, I think, the least amount of passing attempts in the NFL.
Only 27 against the Seahawks by Brock Purdy, I'm just saying.
Yeah, and I think the reason I'm saying that is because those passing statistics are up. They're up, like, passing yards. Obviously, if Brock's considered to be an MVP.
Number one explosive pass rate, Brock Purdy.
Yes. So, contradicting myself here when I say things like
Here's the thing. They're efficient in everything they do.
Exactly. It's not checkdowns. It's not throwaways.
Mm-hmm.
It's these great... It used to be when I saw the 49ers quarterback back up into the pocket and get ready to throw downfield, I'm like, uh-oh.
You're not going to name names.
Well, no. I mean, even with Brock, it was like that. It took a while to transition into this phase now where when I see Brock wind up and get his arm ready, I'm like, it's probably going to be a touchdown. And it really is for the most part. Or it's 40 yards down the field.
That dot to Debo. Woo, baby. Dot to Debo.
I mean, this team is just playing well. Not a lot of penalties recently, which has been really nice. I'm going to go ahead and do a little knock on wood.
Only five.
Only
on
five
Sunday.
In this game?
Yes.
You have, I thought the George Kittle, it's hard to see when he's running the route when you're watching on TV, but he runs the route. There's a flag thrown. Well, he breaks off from Jamal Adams. Yeah. I believe it was Jamal.
It was Julian Love.
Julian Love, yeah. But Jamal tried to come through at the end.
He did.
Smoked him. But you see the flag go, and you're like, oh, did George just do OPI? Was that offensive pass interference? Nope. He just burnt him.
We were all confused when that flag was thrown, because they're like, how in the world is that OPI on George Kittle?
Yeah.
Because he beat him so bad. And it wasn't. It was
it wasn't.
DPI.
No, it was.
He beat him so bad that they had to hold him, and they still couldn't contain George Kittle.
Yeah. Man, I'm
to answer your question from earlier, Nate, 49ers, fewest pass attempts in the league this year at 27.92.
Yeah.
Of the bottom 12 in the league, there's only two teams that have an above average passer rating in the league, too. It's them and there's three. It's them, it's Baltimore, and it's Denver.
That's a great stat.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle.
That's very interesting.
Efficient.
So this is our guy, Colin Cowherd, as you're wearing your backwards hat. I know that stat because I was listening to him. I actually forgot to get you. I was going to get the audio of the kind of did a little follow-up on the backwards hat thing
I heard this
week. It was subtle. It was stupid. But how crazy is it that it's the least – they're at the bottom there, but their quarterback is second favorite in MVP.
And has the highest passer rating in the NFL.
Yeah, it's wild.
Completion percentage,
the efficiency is insane. And I think – obviously, Brock's a great player, but I think the credit for the efficiency really has to go to Kyle Shanahan for scheming and the way he sets up the offense and the way he confuses other coaches, great NFL coaches. He's working them. He's working them every single week, and it's fantastic, and I don't understand why he's not more prevalent in the Coach of the Year conversation.
To back up your point, Nate, there are two teams in the NFL this year that as a team have a 70% completion percentage. It's the 49ers.
And can I guess?
Yes.
Is it the Cowboys?
No.
Oh, man. Is it a good team?
Yeah.
Dolphins.
Yeah, it's the Miami Dolphins with Mike McDaniel.
It's Tua, the game manager.
Well, I was just saying it's Mike McDaniel and Shanahan who run the same practical offense.
Which is the Dolphins are like a... a version of the 49ers without all the talent on offense.
Without the talent, the defense, frankly.
Well, the defense for sure, but it's like outside of Tyreek Hill, they got Mostert, who's solid.
They got Waddle. Waddle's a really good player.
Yeah. He's okay. I don't think...
So is Brandon Ayuk.
Achane. I always say it wrong.
Well, Ayuk is, I believe he's still number two on PFF behind Tyreek Hill.
Ayuk. Yeah. Ayuk is on fire.
PFF is interesting, though. I like to use it when it backs up my opinion.
Isn't that how stats work?
PFF, I think Brock is like the 12th best quarterback, but... It's weird because it counts guys like Jimmy.
Yeah, I don't go to PFF as much just because you have to pay for it.
I will say, since the bye week, I believe, of the last five wins, Brock Purdy is the second highest grade quarterback on PFF.
Behind?
I don't know. That
probably stat. Dak, right?
That's
probably
what Dak. I would assume.
Dak's,
yeah.
Dak's been lights out.
Yeah,
Dak.
But that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, yes. That's...
He's first in passing yards, though.
He is.
Cool.
Yes, and actually... is on track to be the 49ers franchise leader for a single season in passing yards, passing Jeff Garcia, possibly.
I'm not going to change my opinion on this just because Brock is the leader in passing yards. I feel like a lot of the time when you're the leader in passing yards, not all the time because there's situations with like Mahomes and stuff, you're throwing the ball because you're behind, right? You're ripping the ball. You're letting it go. This is prevalent in the case of Megatron season where he broke the Jerry Rice record.
Yep.
They were not winning every game.
Ooh.
They were a lot of garbage time, a lot of slinging the ball, trying to get him that record, which is fine. Not against that. But like, I don't think Jerry Rice ever had a season like that with the 49ers, especially not his record-breaking year.
I'm pretty sure Jameis Winston has like 3 of the 10 highest passing totals in a season all time.
the Tampa Bay version of Jameis Winston is going to be studied by quarterbacks everywhere.
It was fun. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun to watch.
It was an interesting fantasy.
He mastered the art of throwing interceptions.
The 30 for 30 king.
Yeah. No, that's. I was sitting in my car thinking about that stat the other day. I don't know
mastered
why.
Mastered the art of interceptions, and now he's creative. He's experimenting with the craft, because every time he plays, he does a stupid thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, the Saints could be better off with Jameis and Derek Carr. You don't know. It's possible. Yeah. Ain't like
no,
Derek's
no, no,
lighting
no.
up right
gone
now.
Now too far.
Ain't like so, Derek lighting it up right now.
The Niners only rushed the ball 23 times. Mm-hmm. McCaffrey got 16 of those. Jordan Mason 4, Brock 2, and Debo 1. So that's not what I love to see.
What would you rather see?
I would rather see, I know it's a win, but I figured they'd run the ball more. They're throwing a lot. Throwing a lot compared to what I've seen as a fan. If I'm like nitpicking this win, just the McCaffrey carries, I don't know. I feel like Jordan Mason can get more run later in the game.
Yeah.
I feel like he deserves more run in this offense. He runs so hard, and now, so Ty Davis Price was cut, and he's back with the team now, right?
Yes, he is.
That's great.
Elijah Mitchell back at practice.
I like him. Elijah Mitchell's back. I feel like Jordan Mason deserves more reps.
I think Jordan Mason has clearly shown that he is the third back on the roster, and they still like Elijah to be number two. I don't always agree with that because I think Elijah is just too injury-prone right now. He's not the same guy that he was 2 years ago.
When he's healthy, though, he's the better player. Do you think that?
I like what Jordan Mason offers as an alternate to McCaffrey.
Okay.
I think Elijah and CMC are too similar.
I don't have much of an argument for that. Jordan Mason does feel more
so
like
much,
a third down back.
He has so much LeGarrette Blunt in him.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So,
I
mean, and you need hard. That closer at the end of the game. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. Coming back, we will have a guest joining us to break down. We're going to switch it up, previewing Cardinals Week 15 in the second segment.
Just talking Cardinals, really. We're staying live in YouTube. Stay live in the
we
YouTube
We are staying
with us.
Live in YouTube as well. We'll have Tyler Drake coming on in a second. But again, Return to the Empire, Mil Fregoso, Nate Littlefield, Sacktown Sports.
All right.
YouTube.
What's
YouTube. Up, Ian? Okay. How many likes do we have right now?
11.
Okay, if we get up to 20, I will be so happy.
What would you do?
Oh, man. I don't know. Figure something out.
Nate will do a backflip on camera.
I can't. I can't even backflip on a trampoline.
Wow.
Do you have any special skills?
I always like spin around, make videos.
Nate will do a barrel roll.
That's not special.
No, I know. Dang.
Do a somersault.
Dang, what is like
while he thinks the one thing I was thinking about while you guys were talking is like I don't like being critical like overly critical of like professional athletes because mm-hmm. it's like they are real people. It's dumb to like make fun of them. Drew Locke belongs in the XFL. I'm just going to put that out there.
He
just
started off well, I thought.
Just truly. Yes. I don't know how much of that is distorted by Vic Fangio offense, but like, good Lord, I have been sick of Drew Locke for years.
Denver's been a problem for a long time.
I know, but they had 12 quarterbacks in 6 years, and he was like irrefutably the worst.
No, I get it. It's just Denver's been a problem for a long
time.
You think for sure he's worse than Simeon was?
Simeon, yeah. The one who started a game that there's two that could compete with him. It's Mark Sanchez, because Mark Sanchez did start a game for the Broncos. And
I don't remember that.
The second Brock Osweiler run.
That was so funny.
The second Brock Osweiler run might be able to compete with him. But that third year.
ASU legend Brock Osweiler, by the way.
Oh, he's an ASU guy.
Yes, he is.
You're wearing the sweater.
You know, Sun Devils, baby. BA, again, we didn't mention this. BA broke 1,000 yards receiving.
Oh, he did.
For the second consecutive year in a row. Brandon, he's going to get the payday. He's going to get that bag.
He is.
By who?
By the Niners.
Are you sure?
Yes. Positive.
Okay.
I feel very positive.
Okay.
I want that to happen. I'm not as positive.
I'm pretty positive.
But if not the Niners, then who?
Do you want
Denver?
No, the New York Giants.
No,
that would be funny. Him and Tommy DeVito running the NFC East.
Tommy DeVito got the Niners in the playoffs this week.
Yes, he did.
Are we allowed to do that? I feel uncomfortable with like non-Italian.
Italian.
No, I meant the rest of us. I know you're
Italian,
fine, but. Everyone's been hitting the Tommy DeVito gesture, and I don't know whether I should do it or not.
Do you not feel expertise. Italian enough?
I'm not Italian at all, but I don't know what the rules are for that.
Favorite Italian dish, go.
Pasta. I don't
Chicken
know.
Pesto
that's
pasta.
You're just saying pasta. That's a general sense thing.
I mean, Nate really put me in a bad
Chicken
spot
pesto
there. I was
pasta.
Talking about
well, I'm asking whether... both of you. In the chat, let us know.
Some rigatoni.
Oh, no. We only have 10 seconds left.
Dang
oh,
it.
No.
Shoot. Tyler on the end.
We'll ask Tyler, I guess.
Shoot.
Door is here for you. Call us today to see how we can transform your house with a new garage door.
638-4554 National Garage Door.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fregoso and Nate Littlefield.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, however you
people.
Are. Yes, people. Yes, they. How about that? I don't know. Emil Fregoso, Nate Littlefield, Return of the Empire. We are back talking Niners. And this week they have a matchup with a very familiar foe in the Arizona Cardinals. And who better to have on than from my sister station over AZ Sports, Mr. Tyler Drake. Now, Tyler, I don't know if you were listening to the previous conversation we were having, but what is your favorite Italian dish?
Oh, okay. Well, definitely was listening in. Pasta, you can't just say pasta. I will say that.
No, I deserve that. I just want to say Nate put me in a bad spot there.
So my wife actually makes this crazy thing. It's called spaghetti pie. And I couldn't tell you, it's like got red sauce. It's got Alfredo sauce. It's got a little bit of everything, and you cut it up like a piece of pie, and it's hands down my favorite. But if I got to go something more basic, probably like a 5 cheese ziti, throw a little meat in there.
It's pretty complex. I like that though.
He's throwing out the real recipes right there.
This pie kind of sounds a little bit. Now, I'm not trying to attack your wife here, Tyler. We just met. My name's Nate, by the way. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
It sounds a little bit like lasagna.
I guess it's – no, not really. No, it's not layered or anything. It's like – it's pretty thick of just noodles and Alfredo sauce. You got the red sauce on the bottom.
Yeah.
Maybe a little meat sauce on top to really throw it all together.
Sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. I might
it's
have
good.
To make a trip out to Arizona pretty quick.
Good.
Here. That's awesome.
Anyways, you know who else is making a trip out to Arizona? The
Who's
Niners.
That? Who's that?
The Niners are making a trip to Arizona this week. They're going to play at State Farm in Glendale. And obviously, Tyler covers the Cardinals for our station AZ Sports. Check him out at Tyler at T Drake Sports, I believe, four.
T Drake Four Sports.
There it is. T Drake Four Sports.
You right almost
there.
Had it.
I almost had it. I was close. Anyways, Tyler, what have you seen from the Cardinals this week coming off of their bye? And they're a little rested coming off a win as well against the Steelers. What's the kind of the vibe around there right now?
Yeah, it just seems like it's business as usual. I think a lot of people are happy to have that bye, even though it was as late as you can possibly have it in the season. So kind of feels weird that there's only really like four games left in the season. But obviously getting some off time is really good. And it seems like everybody got some time to really, really just take time for themselves, step away from the game. But now they're back and it seems like they're really ready to go. They got a little bit of that momentum from the Steelers game, which, I mean, not much went wrong for them there. So now they try to put it together against a really tough Niners team, which is in a whole other tier by themselves. So it'll be interesting to see how they can really mix what they did against the Steelers with maybe some new creative things against the Niners.
So what do you think the, like, Kyler Murray, he's obviously coming off one of the worst injuries you can have in the NFL. Is he back to 100%? And do you think the Cardinals are going to ride with him in the near future?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because Drew Petzing actually talked with us and he was on the Adam Schefter pod recently and said that he views Kyler as the Cardinals franchise quarterback. Obviously, you're not going to say he's not the franchise quarterback, yeah. But you also don't have to go as far as to say he's the franchise quarterback. So it's interesting there. It seems like everybody's in lockstep. It seems like off the field, they're all just really on the same path. On the field, obviously, I think there's been some rust that everybody can see. He's learning a new offense with a new coordinator. He's got new footwork. He's got to, you know, really dial in. So there's a lot of boxes he's still got to check, but it sounds like he's doing all the right things to where it seems like he should be the guy moving forward. Obviously, we have to see what these last four games look like, but I would say they're leaning towards keeping him going into next season because if you do that, you can really build this team with those picks that you're going to have from not only yourself, but from the Texans as well. So Kyler's still showing some rust. He's, you know, he even said it this the last game where it felt like this was his fourth preseason game. So these next four games, I'm really interested to see if he can put more more consistent game together throughout these last four because it's been kind of an up and down first four games. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he can do that and get his wide receivers involved too because that's been a really big issue for him right now.
Well, just a quick follow-up, not to cut you off, Emil. I just want to know, what's your general kind of opinion on Kyler? He's a guy I've always really respected. You know, the Niners see him twice a year since he's been around. Obviously drafted one before Nick Bosa.
Yep.
Thanks for that, by the way. but I think Kyler is a very, like, I think he's a very good quarterback. I just, what's kind of the general consensus in Arizona about Kyler Murray?
You know, I think it's really up in the air. There's the side that is really all in on Kyler. They feel like he's misunderstood. They feel like all he wants to do is win. He just needs to be put in the right situation. And then you have the other side where they just don't think he's going to be the guy, where he's too small to throw over the offensive line, where he doesn't understand the offense, where he's not going to pick up, you know, what the defense is throwing at him. So it's really, it feels like it's split down the middle out here. I do think, though, it's starting to shift more into the side of there's a lot more believers in Kyler, just from seeing how he's gone through this rehab into kind of just, it seems like he's gotten a lot more mature and not only off the field, but even on the field, just the way he's interacting with his coaching staff, the way he's interacting with players. Like there's times where Trey McBride and him haven't linked up on a play. And instead of ripping him a new one, like he did with DeAndre Hopkins last year, or even with Cliff Kingsbury at times, they're instead working it out on the sideline and then they're going back and having a huge game. So those little things there are really, I think, turning a lot of people into the positive side of Kyler, but there's still a lot of doubters and there's still going to be a lot of doubters, even if he shocks the world these last four games. So I think for him, it's just about doing what he's doing. And I really do think he just wants to win. And I think a lot of people can take that as an arrogance or an ignorance of just, he wants to say a couple words and get it done. That's what he's about. He's not about the talk. He's not about all of these things. So that's definitely something that I think personally and that I see. But I do agree, too. I think he really is showing more maturity and showing more growth as a player and a person with this new regime.
Yeah, I would agree as well. Obviously, those famous clips of Kyler and Cliff getting at each other. And I was actually at that final game, Cardinals-Niners last season, when there was a really tense vibe with Cliff Kingsbury and that final presser there before he was let go. But switching the gears to Jonathan Gannon, he's also a first-year head coach. Obviously, there was those viral clips from the beginning of the season where the, you know, who took the bus here? That kind of viral clip went all around. But since then, it feels like people have kind of, I don't want to say rallied around him, but they kind of are starting to believe that he's for a little bit more for real. What are the general vibes you're getting from Gannon right now coming out of the bye?
Yeah. I mean, it really is down to earth, realistic expectations, not getting too far ahead, and really just getting down to the basics of traditional football, of having a solid football character, accountability, being violent in the sense of not putting your team in harm's way, but being violent to the point where you can be a good football player and being versatile. And that, and they've really honed in on those things. And the best example I can give you of what that really looks like is this rookie class that they brought in, because every one of these guys is pretty much contributing on a starterish level. I think there's maybe one or two guys that aren't quite there yet. Owen Papo stands out, but all these other guys have really taken a huge step forward and are really showing this similar build that they want this, you know, franchise to have moving forward. And I think it's just the togetherness that this team is showing, the accountability that this team is showing, which I can tell you right now, the last couple of years was not there. And just talking to the players that have been there, I mean, they don't go as far as to say, yeah, there were some issues, but you can clearly tell there is a whole different culture shift coming on. And I mean, DJ Humphries called it a culture shock. Buda Baker was right in lockstep with him. So was Kyler Murray. And I don't think it's hard to see that. And obviously the wins aren't piling up for these guys, but it doesn't, there's much more optimism than there was last year, even though they looked like a playoff team entering the season. But now it just seems like they've got it together where, yeah, they're not going to do it this year, but it doesn't seem like it's going to take that long for them to get back to some kind of relevancy to maybe get back into a wild card situation a couple years down the line.
So it's a pretty dramatic line for the Niners Cardinals this week. I'm looking right now, depending on where you look. Niners favored by 12.5, right?
It was 13.5. I'll just say they got a point back.
So. It was, yeah, it was. Yes. Yep.
Pretty big one. Niners fans are set to take up over 60%, I think, of the stadium, which is will be hard to tell on TV because they have the same colors.
Yep.
So it doesn't, you know, you'll be able to hear it. But what is kind of the X factor for the Cardinals? What will be the thing that if they were to beat the Niners, that pushes them over the edge to help them do it? Where should we be watching as fans to like, what should we be looking out for on Sunday?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's Trey McBride. The dude is really coming on. He's playing out of his mind. It's clear that he is Kyler Murray's favorite target. Hollywood Brown is his best friend, but obviously they just haven't had a connection like a lot of people have thought. But I'd say Trey McBride, man, he's really just figuring it out. I think he's about to set a franchise record out here for, I believe it's receptions, if I'm not mistaken. And then he got 100 yards a couple of games ago, and that was the first time a Cardinals tight end had done it since 1989. So stupid stat by itself, but just that kind of he just clearly has taken a next step. He's one of Steve Keim's probably last holdovers that is going to make a lasting mark with this franchise. And you can really tell with Murray that they are really gelling, and you can tell their communication is head and shoulders above what it was. I mean, they are really, like I said earlier, Kyler and him are communicating on the field, and it's not a back and forth of, hey, you got to do this. It's I'm here, throw it here. Where are you at? Like, it's a collaborative effort, and I think it's really showing, and you can see his confidence. The dude is an underrated athlete too. I don't think it shows up on the film enough, but he can really move some people as a blocker and then catch it for a huge gain or a ton of yards after catch. And if the Cardinals can get a lead, and it's a pretty big if, James Conner just taken over, because as we saw against the Steelers, 25 carries, I think 105 yards on a touchdown, like, or two touchdowns. That's their bread and butter to win football games. If they can get a lead and build behind Conner, that's where the problems start for opposing teams. But I mean, they're 3-10. We've seen the song and dance, and obviously Kyler Murray gives them a more consistent option at signal caller. But yeah, I would say those are the two big areas that I would look out for sure.
Yeah, and then obviously running the football behind Paris Johnson Jr., who's been pretty good as a rookie as well. But another rookie we got to shout out because he's a Stanford alum, Michael Wilson, who when he came to Santa Clara earlier this year, he put up a pretty good stat line, 7 catches, 76 yards, and 2 tutties. I mean, what makes this guy so special and why he's kind of become more of a real threat than Marquise Hollywood Brown this season?
Yeah, well, one, he's just big, and he's like one of their biggest wide receivers on the team. Him and Pascal, I think, are 6'1" apiece, and after that it's all 5'10" and below. Mm-hmm. So that alone right there, he's a bigger target on the outside, and he's just a contested catch fool. Every time he gets the ball, it seems like outside of, I think, that huge touchdown he had where he was wide open, and if anybody missed that ball, that's really bad on them. But outside of that, he's had a contested, it seems like every ball is a contested catch, and he's pulling it down. And I mean, even, you know, at practice, he's staying out afterwards and using the jug machine and really getting after it Whereas I think a lot of people could maybe take a step back in his situation just because of how well he's come on. I mean, he was the talk of the town for training camp, OTAs. I mean, Gannon said he was light years ahead of where he should have been. And obviously when he's healthy, he's shown it. But now that's the big thing now. And that was the red flag before was, can he stay healthy? And right now he's dealing with that shoulder issue. He is practicing again this week. So a good sign he could be back. And if he is, that's definitely somebody to watch. But him and Kyler haven't had a ton of time together. So I think that chemistry is going to maybe have to be fostered in a couple games from here.
Well, I'm going to ask you for my last question here. I'm going to ask you basically what I asked you about Kyler Murray, but for Brock Purdy, like, what do you, as you're on the outside looking in at the Niners, right? You're not in the area separated from everything. So a little more unbiased than a lot of people here. What do you specifically think as someone who covers another NFL team, a team in the same division the Niners are in? What do you think about Brock Purdy? Do you think he deserves to be in this MVP conversation? What general thoughts, really?
Okay, so before I go to that, it is probably going to be a little bit biased because I did cover him in high school out here.
Whoa, yes, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm going to tell you right now, he was exactly how he was as he is now. The same type of dude, same character. Like, you could tell the dude was going to go far. It was really cool covering him because it was one of those moments where it's like, yeah, that guy's, he's going to do something. And what he's doing now is incredible. But to get into your point, like, everybody's knocking him because the Niners have the best team in football. Head top to bottom, best team in football. There's no doubt about it. But what he's doing, he's in there and he's producing at a high enough level to where he deserves to be in the MVP race, because you could throw somebody in there and they not perform enough, but you still have these guys around you. He's still got to get it done. He's still got to throw the passes. He's still got to do all of these things to get that, to put this team in the position where they are now. So in my opinion, he definitely deserves to be in the MVP race because he's just doing it. I mean, he wouldn't be at the top of these rankings if that wasn't the case. I mean, the completion percentage just stands out to me alone. Even when they played the Cardinals last time, that was just, I mean, that was like watching a clinic go on there. So I definitely think he deserves to be in the MVP race. I think he's underrated for sure. And I think, as Jonathan Gannon said, he improves every game. So I think this guy, I mean, I think it's only going up from here. And I think the more he gets these kind of playoff games and tight games moving forward, it's only going to help your guys' team move head and shoulders above the rest. And it's just a crazy way of doing it too, because it's not going the simple route of, oh, hey, we're going to draft a guy at number one and build around him. No, it took Mr. Irrelevant, and really he worked his way up to get to that spot, which I think doesn't get talked enough about, where you've got the CJ Strouds, the Kyler Murrays, all these other guys getting their flowers at times. But Purdy's still there, and he's getting dinged because he's got a really good football team around him. So I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I said on a previous show, I feel like Brock Purdy's kind of changed the criteria of what it takes to win the MVP as a quarterback, because he's the Mr. Irrelevant, because he's a seventh-round pick. And Nick Bosa even said recently, he goes, he's like the biggest blessing we've had since I've been in the NFL, because he's just what he's done to come back and come up through the ranks in the way he has. Now, I have to ask you, I believe this is the first time that Brock Purdy is going back to Arizona since he took over starting a job for the Niners. Do you think there's going to be any pregame jitters from Brock going back home, or is he just going to be the same old guy he's been?
I think he's going to be the same old guy. I think to the point, I think he's had enough big games under his belt where the home game is going to be, it's just going to be another game to him. I really do think that. I think he is very much ice in the veins type quarterback. He'll throw a smile at you, but he's going to go try to kill you too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tyler, we appreciate you and your time, man. Everyone, please check out his work at AZ Sports at TDrake4Sports on X. I said that right. X.
Good job.
I know. Tyler, you do fantastic work out there. What do you have coming up the next few days?
Yeah. Just look for ArizonaSports.com. I got a bunch of content coming out, just probably previewing the Niners by themselves because they deserve it, because they are the top of the tier, in my opinion, of the NFL. And just looking at a couple other things going into the game, also be looking at the Texans draft pick, because that's a Cardinals draft pick at the end of the day. So big things there. And outside of that, we'll have the my Cardinals Corner podcast after the game on Sunday. And obviously I'll be at the game Sunday, so it should be a really good time. And And hopefully the roof's open. It should be. It's too nice not to have it open.
What's the weather right now in Phoenix? I'm kind of missing that AZ weather.
I think it's like 55 right now. So Ooh. Everybody's getting a little chilly right now. But it was still probably like 65 in the daytime today. So
okay.
Pretty nice. Good golfing weather.
Yeah, for sure, man. I miss Arizona a lot sometimes. I really do. Well, Tyler, we appreciate you coming on, man. Best of luck with the Cardinals rest of the season and great, great coverage. We appreciate you. Anytime you want to come on, just let us know, man, of course.
Yeah, you guys let me know. And one more thing, make sure to light the beam, guys.
Oh, there you go. Okay, there you go.
We appreciate right, that, thanks, my guy. Tyler. Appreciate you, Tyler.
We appreciate you coming on.
Look at that. Tyler light beam, Drake, huh? Light the beam. You know what's light funny? I'll just share this personal story. Tyler actually reached out to me and he said, can you go to the playoff game with the Kings and get me a light the beam shirt? And nice. I was like, it's going to be tough, man.
Yeah.
But I was able to get one for him and send it out his way. So
nice.
A King supporter from Arizona and Tyler Drake. We appreciate him
as always. We'll take it.
And coming up, we're going to go to break right now. Coming up after the break, we're going to preview more Niners Cardinals and talk about some trendy topics that have happened over the last few weeks and the last 5 weeks of the Niners. And I don't know, Brock Purdy, MVP, Dak Prescott MVP, we're going to discuss after the break. So, Nate Littlefield, Turn of the Empire.
Wanna see you with it, sure could treat you right. Give me just a minute of your time tonight. We've all tried to
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast.
With Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
I love this song.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Just cracked up laughing.
I had no idea what this song was. Nate just came in before the show and he's like, hey, I want you to play this song.
Oh, you're amazing.
But also, it doesn't have a name. It just has a, like, MP3 file thing on it. I had no idea what this was going to be.
This song's good. You could probably just let it ride till it runs out, actually.
I hit the mic. Jeez. That was crazy. What a time.
We're off the rails.
We're off the rails.
Back
anyway,
to the show.
Return of the Empire, Mil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield. Appreciate, of course, Tyler Drake of AZ Sports, Cardinals reporter, editor over there at our sister station, azsports.com. Check out all his work at Tyler Drake for Sports. He's the man.
For the number.
For the number, not four spelled out. For the number. Cuatro, see it. Anyway. Tyler, great too. I'm so happy to have him on. And a Kings fan from Arizona. So, light the beam anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, Niners talk, right?
Do you think the Niners are going to get the one seed?
Probably. If they win out, they have to win out.
They have to win out.
Yes.
Because you don't see a...
The Eagles have a really light schedule. I think the Cowboys drop at least one game.
They have...
tough schedule.
The Bills.
Yes.
The Rams.
The Dolphins, I believe.
Yeah. I think they drop... I think Cowboys lose two. On the back
I can totally see it.
Yeah.
Because the Cowboys.
When everything's going the Cowboys' way is when things go wrong.
What did Stephen A. Smith say? They're an accident waiting to happen.
Is that how he said it?
No, he didn't say it like
he
that.
Sounds kind of like a parakeet.
I don't know. They're an accident waiting to happen.
Look, okay, so let's give a percentage here. Let's take those three teams. Take four. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the Niners, we're going to take the Cowboys, we're going to take the Eagles, and then we're going to take other. Probably Detroit.
Ew.
Give me a percentage, a pie percentage of who do you think is going to get the first seed?
Like in a pie chart?
Yes.
Okay. I'll start with the Niners.
Of course. Yes.
I think it's a 67% chance.
67%. So 2/3.
Yes.
Okay. So give me Dallas.
Dallas is a. I have to do math here. Hold on.
You have 33% left to get.
Yeah, 25%.
Okay, so you think Dallas has a higher chance to get the one seed than the Eagles.
Oh, wait, sorry, I apologize. Sorry. 15.
Okay, so then the Eagles, you have
whatever they're made.
18% left? 18.33.
Yeah, that's about right, yes. And that's based on strength schedule. Because I think Dallas is better. I think the Eagles have a light schedule.
So the Cowboys schedule is at Buffalo, at Miami, home against the Lions, and then Washington.
That is a hard
schedule.
That's
a hard schedule.
Well, I mean Washington.
Well, you know. Okay, Washington.
But they even play them tough usually.
Yeah, divisional.
Oh, yeah, that 43-10 game on Thanksgiving was tough.
Okay, besides that one. But
I just think divisional games are nothing to scoff at.
Hey, look, Riverboat Ron would be playing for just
how do we know? He might not even be the coach at that point.
Maybe the enemy's playing for the head. I don't know. Look, I don't think that the Commanders are going to roll over the last game of the
season. The other games are hard. That is fair. They go at Miami and at Buffalo.
I think they dropped two of those. I'm pretty sure about that. So do you give the rest of the 18% and then the 0.333 to the other?
Sure.
That's kind of your
pie. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number one seed.
Yeah.
Stop that.
They're in the playoffs right now.
They might not even win their own division.
Yeah. But they are winning right now.
Then they're the best team.
No.
They're the... Who's better?
Probably the Saints.
Really?
Probably. They're all terrible, but, you know.
Tampa has the most competent quarterback.
You don't think
though.
Atlanta's in that conversation at all?
I don't believe in the Arthur Smith thing.
Neither do I.
I don't understand. I don't
believe. Did you hear the report that Arthur Smith actually has his job still after the season?
We'll see.
I heard it's like unless they have a massive collapse, he's got this.
Nate, what's your pie chart? I want to hear your pie chart.
It's less for the Niners. It's probably 45-4. I think it's between the Niners and the Eagles, really.
Be bullish.
I'm going to go, I'll just for easy math's sake, 33 Niners, 33 Eagles. They're about the same. They're 39ers, 36 Eagles. I think the Eagles have a better chance at it.
So you're saying 36 Eagles, 33 Cowboys, 30
No.
Niners?
30% Niners. Okay. 36 Eagles. So we're at 66%. Yeah. 67. We'll say 67. Okay. I'll give 20% to Dallas, 15 to Dallas, and then the rest of the field.
You're giving an 18% chance to teams that are two games behind the Niners, Eagles, and Cowboys?
Could be a devastation.
And you're picking the Eagles to win, basically.
No, I just think they have a better chance because of schedule, and I think they're desperate. And when desperate teams play, like, look at the Bills lately. They've been playing so desperate, and they've been in every game, and they've been close. I just think...
Look, if not for an offsides call, I don't know if they win that game.
I agree.
Hey,
yeah.
Man, Nate loves the Pastronaut. What can we say?
He's the benched Pastronaut. The
guy who's... Mullen.
Nick Mullen, the Raider killer.
For reference, the Eagles schedule is at Seattle, home against the Giants, home against the Cardinals, at the Giants.
So, I think they go 1-1 in the Giants games.
I think the Seahawks might beat the Eagles.
I think the Giants games are a lot tougher than you think.
That's a 50% Tommy DeVito rest of your schedule.
I'm just saying that they did just beat the Packers, who were surging.
Yeah, Tommy DeVito, none of it makes sense. None of it.
He had a game-leading drive, okay? He did something.
He was 10 for 11 for 120 yards in the second half. That's like close to a perfect passer rating.
He also ran for 70 yards. He's a dual-threat quarterback. Tommy DeVito, and his agent looks like an Italian mafia member.
Oh, there's a whole conspiracy that he was wearing a costume, because if you look up mobster costume on the internet, it's exactly
what he was wearing. I really hope that that's not the case, because that's exactly what I predict Tommy DeVito's agent to look like.
Yeah, maybe. Also, I think the Bears are one game out of the playoff and also the fifth worst team in the NFL right now.
It's a wild thought that pretty much almost every team in the NFL is still alive somehow, except for the Patriots.
Well, except for the Patriots, the Panthers, the Cardinals, Washington somehow, and who else am I thinking? Oh, the Chargers.
Not a lot of teams.
Oh, and the Raiders. Sorry, Emil.
I think you accepted that a while ago. There was not going to be a good year this year. Okay, I kind of knew that.
Yeah.
That's fine. We'll go into next year.
I do kind of think the Seahawks are going to beat the Eagles this week.
I think so, too.
Just the Seahawks are more desperate than the Eagles. Because they need to make the playoffs, right? And I think Geno's going to come back with a week of rest.
I hope
pretty
he's okay.
healthy.
He looked pretty hobbled last Sunday.
Darius Slay can't guard DK Metcalf and Lockett at the same time. Yeah,
James Bradbury's trash, apparently.
Their defense is terrible, the Eagles. So I think, you know, after seeing what Seahawks did to Dallas,
yeah, man,
I think there's potential there, especially in Seattle. Niners know how hard it is to play there. But I want the Niners to get the number one seed. I just think just the schedule for the Eagles is too easy. And with the tiebreaker, we'll see what happens. But, I'm just kind of curious.
I'm picking the Niners to win out.
Wow, okay.
I'm picking the Niners to – actually, I apologize.
Well, the Niners' schedule, the only really, really hard game mm-hmm. is the Baltimore game on Christmas.
Correct. It's the one that I'm back and forth on. We'll have a prediction next week. We don't have a show next week. We'll have a prediction on the website.
I don't know. Emil was just talking up the Commanders a second ago against the Cowboys.
I think the Commanders don't care.
Oh, they play them tough, though. I mean, come on.
They do. It's divisional, Kyle. It's divisional. They definitely do.
You know how this goes?
They play the Eagles tough.
They lost 43-10.
They almost beat the Eagles.
Yeah, that's one time this year.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Sam Howell can throw for three touchdowns in a game. It's very much possible.
Yeah, but he can also do other things.
He can. I would be surprised if the Commanders pack it in the last week.
That is fair. I will not argue with that logic. And... It's the NFL. Dumb stuff happens every week.
And neither will the Rams either, but I think the Niners are just levels better than these teams.
Oh, but the Rams are fighting for a playoff spot that week 18. I mean, they're
not going to make the playoffs.
They're in the group of six teams that are 6-7.
I definitely think they could make the playoffs. I definitely think the Rams are in the running
with
for
Tommy
it.
DeVito chasing them down. They gotta
we'll
bring
see.
It.
Do you even care about Brock being MVP like me? Like, I don't care. It seems like you care more than me.
I do. I think it'd be cool. But, yeah. Like, I don't... Brock said it this week, too.
Do you
too.
Think he should be the favorite?
I do.
Over Dak.
Mail.
Okay, what's your case for that?
Brock Purdy is on the best team in the NFL, leading the best team, the best offense, the best defense, and he's doing everything he's asked of. And then some, and continues to perform and exceed expectations every single week.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas Dak Prescott has been this guy for this long, and maybe he should already have the MVP. Maybe he should be the number one. But you know what? I watched that Niners-Dallas game. I've watched Niners-Dallas a few times in person, actually. And every time that's happened, Dak has looked like a shell of himself.
Okay.
Been this guy for this long. Dak, since the Niners game, has 19 touchdowns, one interception.
Sure. But when the Niners
22.
And Cowboys
22
play
rushing.
Each other, Dak doesn't play well. Brock does. And I
so
think
that's
that,
your point is the head-to-head.
The head-to-head stuff matters.
Okay. Not when Dak Prescott is... playing like at a slightly higher level than Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy's number two, but Dak Prescott
and
is.
I think Brock is doing a better job.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I just
they have a better offensive line too.
The
Cowboys a much better offensive line. Brock was getting crushed against Seattle, and yet he still had a career high in passing yards.
Okay, those are some offensive line point is good. I don't. Like I, it's hard for me to argue about this if I really don't care because I really don't.
Never does Brock either.
All
that's
I care
fair.
About the Super Bowl. Like really, it's true.
Look,
it's,
Brock finishing second for the MVP is a remarkable story. Like yeah. It's gonna be incredible when he finishes second for the MVP, and that's okay. It's just Dak Prescott deserves it, and it's gonna stink if they take
well,
it away
yeah,
from
and
Dak
they're gonna,
Prescott.
They're gonna lose in the playoffs, and that's fine. But there's still 4 weeks. There's still 4 weeks to kind of see what happens to finalize what's going on. But I just. I don't know, but we got to talk about this Cardinals matchup a little more. Maybe just mano a mano here.
Yeah, let's do the injury report. We didn't do that.
Yeah, I need to hear. Give me a little update on what's going on with injuries.
You want the Niners injury report? It's not a great one.
Yeah, I know. It's
long.
Yeah, tell me.
Finally, after 14 weeks, now in week 15, the Niners have an injury problem, which we knew was coming. We just hope it wasn't at this time of the year. The Niners on Wednesday were without. 7 players at the on practice, including Eric Armstead, Spencer Burford, Oren Burks, Ross Dwelly, Dre Greenlaw, Javon Hargrave, Ambry Thomas, Trent Williams, and Tre'Davious Ward.
Okay, but who do you think is a real threat to miss a game out of those? Because I don't think Trent is.
Trent's not. It was a rest day.
Yeah.
Ambry also not injury related, so probably was taking care of some business, family business. Tre'Davious Ward is a groin injury. He is definitely in question.
Yeah, I'm down to... Yeah. Him and Javon down to let them chill.
Eric, I do not think plays this week either.
You don't think Eric's back yet?
No, I think they're going to rest him again because he is dealing with these nagging. Again, he had plantar fasciitis all last season.
Yeah,
he only played half the year last season. He was not the same player. And unfortunately, he got kicked in the shin by Brandon Sheriff again that Jacksonville game and hasn't really been the same since. Kind of messed up his day there and a little bit of his weeks. Spencer Burford, I... think we'll be back, but he also did had a DNP today in a knee issue, which is the other knee, I'll say.
Feliciano was great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Feliciano, they're going to use him more. Very clearly, he is a bruiser in the run game, especially. Some offensive linemen just look mean. Feliciano looks mean.
Yeah.
He's tatted up. He's got the mustache, the long hair. Yeah. He looks like a bruiser. He looks like someone you don't want to see in the trenches.
No.
Very much like Trent.
Very much like Trent. Trent's probably the last one you want to see.
Yeah.
When he comes out with the boombox, you're like, oh, man.
You're like, oh, gosh, what's going to happen
he's gonna
here?
He's going to kill someone,
Some good news, though, for the Niners. Elijah Mitchell practiced in limited fashion. He is back after a knee injury. And then Darrell Luter, full participant with the hamstring injury.
That's good. Luter, pretty important player on special teams.
And maybe playing some corner this week. Hopefully get a couple ops. He's very good at man coverage, very physical corner. I want to see him get a couple ops as a nickel or just in kind of, you know, resting situations.
Speaking of corners, I believe the Niners made a move.
They did.
What is that move?
Niners have signed Jason Verrett to the practice squad this week. That's official as of 2 days ago, or Sunday evening, I should say, which is today is Wednesday. So 3 days ago. Yes, I can't count anymore.
It's fine.
It's fine. Anyway, Jason Verrett, the Fairfield native, is back with the Niners on the practice squad. Official for Matt Maiocco and myself, I confirmed it with Matt. And Jason talked today. He said there was no contemplation of retirement after a season getting injuries. He actually just wanted to get back and have a fully healthy season. Now, whether he's lying or not, he's not going to say he was contemplating retirement because that's a hard thing to come to terms with. But at the same time, Verrett is only, I believe, 32 years old. And if he can just stay healthy, because he's only played 20 games since 2016, he will be a valuable player for this Niners team, I think.
Yeah, I would like to see him back on the field with the Niners. I always liked him. It was pretty devastating that two seasons ago when he tore his ACL in the first game against Detroit. It was pretty... That was two seasons ago. Yeah. Because the Niners had that lead and then almost blew it at the end. And
yeah.
I think that Verrett thing played a role in that emotionally. So
it played a role for them a lot. Like, even Nick Bosa said today that, like, even though Verrett wasn't part of the team for the most of this year, he still kind of felt a part of the squad because of just how much he's loved by the locker room. And they really took it hard last year when JV tore his Achilles in practice on the week he was coming back. They really took it hard. It was a devastating blow for them.
Yeah, it sucked because all the backs had the 1-2-3-4 ready to go, yep. And that lasted for like three quarters. So that I'm glad to see him back. I know he has talent. I don't know physically what he'll be like. Just a guy looking forward to seeing him with the Niners again.
And as for the Cardinals, only Marquise Brown and tight end Jeff Swan are DNPs for Wednesday. There are a lot of limited players. A lot of them will play. I do think Michael Wilson, the rookie out of Stanford, will play, and that's a threat for the Niners because he's very long and very physical. And they've had issues with those guys in the past, obviously with DK last week and others.
How do you think the Cardinals win this game against the Niners? Or do you think the Niners blow it? How do the Niners lose this?
Get out physical. Like, okay. from the start.
Just yeah.
Like, if the Cardinals come out guns blazing and they go down 10-0 in the first quarter, it's like, oh, okay. Because, again,
you don't think the Niners can dig out of a 10-0 hole?
I think they can. I just think the Cardinals with James Conner are so good at running the football when they're up. They did it against the Steelers, who are not an easy defense to play at all.
Horrible offense.
With Trubisky especially, yes.
Yeah.
Look, the Steelers, this might be the first season that Mike Tomlin will have a below 500 record. It's okay. It happens. But the defense is still very, very talented, and I give the Cardinals credit for that. I do think Kyler Murray is a competent and competitive quarterback and wants to win these games for the rest of the year. It's not about the draft pick. It's about showing that he's getting better each and every week. And I do think that if he gets mobile, the Niners have had issues with that in the past. And if he can get mobile and get running and, you know, using RPOs and stuff, I think it could be a little tricky, especially with the Niners potentially resting a lot of their starters this week.
Yeah, I still do think this potentially could be a trap game for the Niners. I don't know if – I think it could be. I definitely think the Niners win.
I do too. I
mean, I'm not going to predict that they're going to lose.
Just given scenarios.
Especially when it's a 12.5 spread like that. Mm-hmm. We'll say Seattle did cover last week, kept it within 12, I think. The line
I had
like,
at 27-17 and literally a point in point.
Yeah.
So I'll take it.
I think mine was 35-9.
You thought we were going to smoke them.
So a little.
Anyway, let's give score predictions really quick.
Score prediction. I'm going to say it's a little lower scoring game for them. I don't think they run it up, which isn't good for Brock's MVP case, but 24-13 San Francisco in the dry state of Arizona.
34-17.
Okay, Niners. So this is a beatdown.
Yeah.
This is a higher scoring.
They're just the better team. They have more talent.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I just think the injuries play a factor, and I think they will not push guys. I think backups will need to step up immensely, and I think they will. So I think I got the Niners. Got the Niners
winning. We both have the Niners. Look, they're probably going to win out the rest of the year, if not for the Ravens game, which is the real test they have. But again, we'll talk about that when we come back. Not next week, unfortunately. No show with the Kings and everything going on.
Christmas.
Next week, Christmas, the holidays.
We're all taking, that baloney.
Taking a week off. We'll be back the week
We need a
after.
Week.
On Wednesday, this Wednesday, not Wednesday, but 2 weeks from now, Wednesday, we'll be back. Return of the Empire, Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter with the ones and twos. We appreciate everyone here in the YouTube chat listening live, recorded later. We appreciate you all. Have a great holiday season. Love you all. Goodbye.